since this wasn't really officially supposed to be a Hanukkah show, we're supposed to really have Pesach Mashiach. I see that one of the people are missing today. So I thought maybe we'd do a little bit of Hanukkah stuff, and we'll see if we can tie it a little bit to Pesach as well. There is a discussion that the Shari Tshuva in Ochas Hanukkah quotes. We probably wouldn't have expected this discussion in Ochas Hanukkah, but that's where it appears. Shari Tshuva raises the following question. We know the Gemara tells us in the second barak of Masechta Shabbos that one is basically permitted to use any kind of an oil I guess the time of Hanukkah is, you know, Kavu, Shiro for Dishbachas, okay. So the Gemara says, the Sechah Bechah Masechah Shabbos, that one is permitted to use any kind of oil for Neres Hanukkah. This is in contrast to the din that appears in Masechah Shabbos, that you're not permitted to use certain types of oils for lighting Shabbos candles. The reason why the Gemara draws a distinction is that on Shabbos candles, we're going to be concerned that if the oil doesn't burn so well, the person is going to get all upset. He's going to start to play around with the oil, he's going to patch around with the candle, which would be a Nisa Deraisa, a Shalav Havar, not a Shalav, it would be a Nisa Deraisa of Havar and Shabbos. On Hanukkah, we're not so concerned, the Gemara says, because anyway, you're not allowed to use the light. So what could we be concerned of? So you're not, it's also the Shtamish Liyari, you're not allowed to use the light of the Hanukkah candles anyway, so it's not going to bother the person if the light's not burning so well. That's the riot that the Ran brings against the Balamor. The Balamor writes, now when the Gemara says, now that he used the and he gets Shachuv here. This is just free association. So the Ran, bear with me. So the Gemara says in Shabbos that you're not permitted to use the light of Neres Hanukkah. The Balamor says, that means you're not allowed to use it for Dvar Chol, but you're allowed to use it for Dvar Mitzvah. Let's say a person wants to learn by the candles, and then you're allowed to do that. Let's say a person wants to eat through the Shabbos by the candles, you're allowed to do that. What it means, you're not allowed to, the Gemara gives an example, also the Hatzos Moles can have a Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to count your money by the Neres Chanukah. That's the riot from the Gemara for Chanukah Gil. Because why are you counting your money? Because the Teretz Shikrim Flo just gave you money. And then you're counting it by the light of the Chanukah candle. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. Also, it's a joke. Also the Hatzos Moles le Ner Chanukah. So the Balamor says, why did Chazal give Dafka the example of the Hatzos Moles? Why did the Gemara give? Say in the other hand, why don't the Gemara just say Aser Lohanos? What do you mean Aser Lohanos Limus Bamos? So Balamor said the Gemara wanted to emphasize that only Hanos Shal Rishus are Aser, but Hanos Shal Mitzvah are Amutter. Why is that? So the Balamor explains, what's the Yisr of using the Ner Chanukah? The Yisr is to be Zayin HaMitzvah. So says the Balamor, what kind of Bizayin HaMitzvah is it going to be if a person is doing a mitzvah? Forget it. It's in half of the mitzvah. I'm learning about Neir Chanukah. What greater kiyum of Neir Chanukah is that? I'm eating my Siddur Shabbos. I'm being Meshabech Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm looking into my Zeriris Brachos. That's a great, wonderful, that's an enhancement of the mitzvah. And the Baal Mor says the only type of Hanukkah Chazal Asid was only Hanukkah Shel Rishus, not Hanukkah Shel Mitzvah. So the Ran says that's not true. The Ran says that you see from the Gemara that also that since it's also Lishtamish Le'ora, therefore, there's no fear that a person is going to ever play around with the candle. If the Balamor is right, if the Balamor is right, that sometimes it's mutter l'shtamish liyora, so in the same way, on a regular Friday night, you can't use these kinds of oils, and for chanukah the candles on Friday night, you should also not be permitted to use these oils. And the Gemara of the famous that kol ha-shmanim sh'om ha-chomim also l'habit behem b'shabbos, mut l'habit behem b'chanukah behem b'chomim b'shabbos. All those candles, all those lights, all those oils of the Mamadlikin that are normally off limits for Shabbos candles, because the gazeri you make up to play with the wicks, none of that applies to the Chanukah candles. Why not? You're allowed to read by the candles. You're allowed to eat through the Shabbos by the candles. So we should be concerned. So Zeman Vindal, you see from here, that's not true. You see that also the established there is across the board. So Taka, why is it? What's conceptually the reason? The Chanukah Balamor makes a lot of sense. Why is that you're not allowed to be mishtamish even b'machom mitzvah? So the Ran says, because the reason why there's an Isser Hano and there's Chanukah, it's nothing to do with Bizah and Mitzvah. That's one reason. That's one reason the Gemara gives. But there's another reason. The other reason is, it's like Me'ilah B'Hekdesh. Since the Neres Chanukah is supposed to be doing the menorah, that we light the Neres Chanukah in a way that to resemble the menorah, it's a Zechat to Neis the menorah, so the Chachalim will misak, and then it should take on the qualities and the properties of the menorah. One of the properties of the menorah is Hekdesh. Not only use Dvarim Shel Hekdesh, we're going to get to a little bit later on the Chavav, about the issue of being a kolamar for rechem b'mishum ila, certain things you are allowed to use, etc. We'll talk about this a little bit later on. So the Ran disagrees with the Baal more conceptually, and therefore practically the Ran says it's also b'chol hanos sheva oila. So as a basic starting point, you're allowed to use all kinds of wicks and oils and wax, everything you want to use for Neres Chanukah. Then the Gemara raises another question: maybe you shouldn't be able to use wicks and oils that aren't going to burn very long, because maybe it's going to go out. And if it's going to go out, you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah. So So Gemara says, no, that's also not a problem, because Kipsa and Zachat, the halach is that once the candle goes out, as long as it had enough oil to burn to start with, if I don't put in enough oil to burn, then for sure you're not going to be, I'd say. But if you put in enough oil to burn, and it happens to go out, so then okay, so then you're still Yotzei Min. So we pass the Kipsa and Zachat. So for a variety of reasons, the Gemara says that the din is that you're allowed to use all kind of oils. You name whatever you want, you're allowed to use any kind of oil whatsoever. You're permitted to use Venerus Hanukkah. There's no problem if a Shabbos involved, even for a night of Hanukkah. There's no problem of relighting it. You're not mechuv to relight everything. It's hunky-dory. You can use mamash whatever you want. There's one opinion in the Charendim, the Maral Miprad, who says that, yeah, the Gemara says you can use oil. The Gemara doesn't say you can use wax. Oil is oil. Oil is a shemen. That means it has to be pourable. Otherwise, it's not like the menorah. It's not like the Beis HaMikdash Bechlal. It doesn't have to be dafka olive oil, but it has to be oil. If it's a wax candle, since the maral, that's nothing. That's not that it's a Miris Hanukkah. But we don't fast like that. I'm in against Haraya. All the yeshivas, and they still send little multicolored boxes of candles. We have enough candles, I think, we could, if Mashiach would come now, we'd have enough to light the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash for the next 5,000 years. We have Hanukkah candles stashed away from my grandmother still. We still have from... She hasn't been alive in over 20 years. We have candles left over from her from Hanukkah. So the din is the minigalim is against that mahalach. But a whole part of the basic starting point is that everything is mutter. All shmanim, everything is mutter. So that was the introduction to the Shari Tshuva. Comes the Shari Tshuva and says maybe one kind of an oil that's problematic for Neres Hanukkah. What is that? What if it's basa b'chalav oil? What if it's oil that was made from a mixture of basa b'chalav? What if it was made from a mixture of basa b'chalav? How did it become basa b'chalav oil? Well, the answer is you took butter and you melted butter together with some schmaltz or something. You made yourself a concoction of wheat fat, the butter, and you cooked it up together. And now you got this dripping oil that is also midaray. You see, you violated the yisrael savash of libuchalavimo. Now you have something which is also bechila and also banah. That type of oil kenzan is going to be problematic in Eretz Kanan. But that's the issue that the Shari Tshuva raises from a group of acharim. What is the issue exactly? What should be the problem with that? So there are several different potential halachic hurdles you have to overcome in order to permit such oil. So one issue is, well, it's asa b'hano. We should know that, right? Bas b'chav is asa b'hano. Don't we know that already, right? We know bas b'chav is asa b'hano. So l'chari, that should be a problem. So comes Moshe and says, what do you mean it's a problem? So Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kav Ches, Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that mitzvah is lav damas. So we spoke about this Kiyas Shofar, right? Earlier this year. What did we talk about? Where did we mention Mitzvah Lav Damas? Oh, wait, we spoke about the Toras Chaim. Toras Chaim and Chulim, right? But Ichli Shlov Galiach, all right. But the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvah Lav Damas, they know that the Hanoah that a person receives from a Mitzvah is not considered to be a Hanoah. So therefore, first glance, that should be not a problem. It's Machalik, it's in the Gemara, but we pass like Rava. Rava's Maskana is that Mitzvah's, Lehanas, isn't it? Nope. And therefore, just as we pass in that Yotzei the mitzvah Kiyas Shofar with the Shofar shall also banah and Yotzei the mitzvah, just because also banah doesn't impact upon doing the mitzvah. When they're not Veneris Chanuch, we should say the same thing. That's the chayr with the din should be. There is a tricky balamor in Maseches Rosh Hashanah where the balamor says that klal of mitzvah labianos that it only applies to mitzvah deraisa, doesn't apply to mitzvah derabanan, which is a very difficult to understand. Like Mehechatay said, why in the world should that be? So that's a big machlokes nechareim. But the Balamor is driving it. If you worry about the Balamor, then you would have a problem. But if you don't accept the Balamor, if you reinterpret the Balamor, like that is, I'm subject to reinterpret the Balamor to be saying something slightly different, so then mitzvah labiyadus would carry the day here as well. So that's one consideration in terms of shemen shalbasa b'cholim. Then there's another potential problem, and that's what's called ksuse mechtashirim. We spoke about this also. When did we talk about this? Right, this is good. This is chazar. Everything we spoke about, right? Putting everything together. So Esther Gavorla, right? Good. So the Gemara speaks about the principle of Kesusa Mechtashirim. That's fakir. That's the problem. The Gemara doesn't mention it. The Gemara says if you have something which is asur b'hanah and tolan sreifa, so then the halacha of Kesusa Mechtashirim kicks in. So what exactly does that mean? So there is a machlekes atenoim between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon about the principle called kala imid lisra of kisar of dami. When I have something which is supposed to be burned, the Torah says I'm supposed to burn it. Let's take the word Avodah Zarah or something like that, which is for sure there's a mitzvah sreifa in Avodah Zarah. So do we say that it's as if it's burned already, as if it doesn't exist? That's Rabbi Shimon's view, that whatever is oimid l'kach to be burnt, it's ke'ilu was burned already. And the Chachamim don't accept that. The Chachamim say there is no such principle called kala oimid l'sof kisar of dami. Nevertheless, the Gemara explains in Rosh Hashanah that machlekes ha'tanoim between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, that's only on something which doesn't have a shear to it. when there is no specific dimensions, no specific measurement, how big, how volume, how size, how many centimeters something has to be, then you can argue it's a machlokes whether you take a lover this roof, you don't take a lover this roof. When the halacha requires that something has a sheer shalom, a sheer mesuyim to it, which is a very specific size to something, so then everybody in a sense agrees that how can you say that the sheer? If it's kosos, if it's all chopped up, it's kemanda leizah dami hinuch shiurim, the sheer, it's not that the object is kemanda leizah dami, the sheer is kemanda leizah dami. How can you say it's a sheer? A sheer means it has to be, excuse me, a sheer means it has to be an entity. It's got to be 10 tefachim tall. It's not 10 tefachim tall. It's chopped up into a million little pieces. It's got to be a size of kebetza. It's a million little kebetzas. It's not a kebetza. So, when there's a din of a shear, then everybody seems to accept the idea, kesusim et b'shear, which is the Chachamim's version of kol amid l'sof kesaraf tamin. Oh, wait, hold on. We'll get there. So that's what the Ran points out in Masechas Gittin. Those were with us in Gittin. The venue around Gittin, right? So remember the Ran, Sefer Gittin? So the Ran raised the question, what would the din be if a person wrote a get on something which is ton sreifa? The Gemara says in Gittin Daf Chav that Kasval Yisrael No Kasher. If I write a get, let's say on a piece of orla, I have an apple skin of orla, I decide to write a get on that, so that's the get is kosher. Kasval Yisrael No Kasher. So comes around and raises the question. Maybe that's only true if it's not Menah Nisrafin, but something which would be Menah Nisrafin, something that's Ton Sreifa. So maybe one could argue that the get would be possible. So the Ran is unclear exactly what the answer to that question is, but the Ran seems to say it as follows. A little bit of a gears issue with the Ran. But the Ran seems to be driving home is the following point. That it depends. It depends on the machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbanan. Because a get is an example of something that doesn't have a shear to it. There's no shear how big a get has to be. You have to be able to write it. You can't see the words. It's not visible. But let's say you have a soif who can write teeny, 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 weeny, 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 so little you can't see it. So if you always, you can write the whole nuscha of the get. So there's no shear how big a get has to be. There's a minig Yisrael to have 12 lines in a get. The first Tyson Gittin says, there's a minig Yisrael, age old minig, to have 12 lines in a get. Why do you have 12 lines in a get? Well, Zeh Sefer told us Adam, Zeh, a whole story, different reasons that they are in Taisus. The first Taisus or then Taisus quotes about the 12 between the different Svarim, between Breishas and Shmos. There are four lines in Bamidbar and Devarim, it's the same. Zeh, a whole story Taisus gives you on the base why the Minhag Yisrael is there are 12 lines in again. I remember when somebody was learning Maseches Gittin in a certain high school, and the boy was learning with me a little bit. And he had never really, you know, it was like his first thing, you know, ninth grade, whatever grade he was in. He was learning, Maseches Gittin. And for like the first week, they were talking about this first Tosfos. Every pimple, every kasha on the Tosfos said, why is the Minhag to have 12 lines? And the Tosfos mean this, and the Tosfos mean that, and Acharei Yesh asked this question, and that question, and this teret, and this tikkul teret. Back and forth on. You can't ever say anything's bitul Torah, but you know, if I have X amount of time with a ninth grader, and I'm learning Maseches Gittin, so I think the Balei Tosfos would be mevater that you should spend more time on what's the Shema, what's, you know, enemy, what's Kiyum Shtaris, what's Eidech Nebisurin, what's Rav Mitzuyin, you know, Rav the Shema. There's some really heavy duty stuff in the Beis Maseches Gittin to spend a week, the first week of the kids, you know, his first quote unquote learning Be'ion. Spend on every little nuance as the minig of 12 lines, and again, I didn't know whether that was the best usage of time. I don't know, that was my personal hashar. No, I think, as on behalf of the staff of the YU, support system, I think you agree. Okay, good. Okay. There's no prioritize, you have to prioritize. Okay. Anyway, so the Ran points out that since a get doesn't have a shear to it, so therefore there really is no din of kesusim echta shiuri. There's a din of kol omer disrof kesarof tamin. That's only according to Bishimin. So according to Bishimin and Achinam, if you would have a get written on something which has been a disrofin, that would be a problem. According to the Rabbanan, there is no such halacha. According to the Rabbanan, it's only halacha kesusim echta shiuri. So therefore, kesusim echta shiuri wouldn't make a sense over here. So now getting back to the Nes Chanukah story. So the real question is, according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's over the shreif, so it's not there, it doesn't exist. So it's like lighting thin air. But we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon, we pass like the Rabbanan. So we pass like the Rabbanan that kol omer disrof kesaraf tamin doesn't really exist on its own. It only exists in the context of kesus mechta shiurei. So we have to raise the question whether Neres Chanukah falls into that category. So But what's the issue? So Neres Chanukah is tricky. Why is it tricky? There is a shear to the amount of oil. What's the shear? That's a typical rabbi. You have to put a certain amount of oil in. You can't just light a mashu of Neres Chanukah. You have to light a shear. What's the shear? The amount of time that the oil would take in order to burn. That's a typical rabbi. And the Rambam writes it up as Chanukah, that's barach a half hour. So some achareim argue, so it's pachos b'kashir. If it's chaser the shear, so if a person burns oil, if a person lights oil, that's also manoah to the point that it's been on a shrofin. So even according to the Rabbanan, you may have a problem because that's ki'il, you didn't light the shear of oil. And the halacha is that even if the candle keeps on going, but if you don't have the shear, the b'shas hadloch, we pass an hadloch is a mitzvah. Kmaz machlek is whether it's the hadloch that does the mitzvah or it's the placing down the candle, if it's slit that does the mitzvah. So we pass an hadloch is a mitzvah, and therefore b'shas hadloch, it has to be enough oil. It has to be enough oil there. That's the reason why most achrenim say it can't be yet with electricity. That's the big issue with electric. But another is that perhaps that's the halacha equivalent of the oil not really being there. Because, I mean, the power is there. It's in there in PSCNG. I don't know, there's power somewhere in Con Ed. I don't know, it's coming in the walls. It's coming through. But when you light it at the time, quote unquote, when you turn on the switch, so many posts can give a mashal, it's like either there's not really oil there, it's not considered to be a psahad locha. There are different reasons why achronim pick on why the electric menorahs are no good. Some achronim say because there's no shem or psila, but the tachanas of chamim was, it has to be mamash like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be an oil or wax, or something that's a material that's been consumed with a wick, and it has to be a tzur of a wick, and etc. That's what some achronim say. Other achronim say, nah, there's no such a locha. We're not machif to make up new hagdaras. That's not the problem. The problem is it's chaser in the shear. My nafkamina, would say if you have a battery powered thing. If you have a battery powered thing, you can argue that the battery is there. But it's over the fanena, so the whole thing is it's giving off the power. So what's the difference whether it's drawing the power off the battery, whether it's drawing the oil out of the oil? So maybe it's the same thing. So if you hold the whole problem is hadlof by simits, but then maybe electric motors if they're the battery power would be okay. Do they make them? Do they have battery power? What? Flashlight, right. If a flashlight would be good, right, according to that smart. So I was thinking about it. So why was I thinking about this? Last night I was thinking about this. So when I was with my father in the hospital over Shabbos, so when my mother bench left in the hospital, so she bench left in his room with the electric candle, you know, like the Shabbos, the hospital candlesticks. Halachas never Shabbos, we assume that's okay. Not everyone agrees, but many people assume that's okay because halachas never Shabbos, the whole purpose is really just to give off light. Well, it gives light, so it gives all the shtickel and Shabbos. It might have kamina, whether it's electric, not electric, that's all good. So we assume that's okay. So I don't know, she can make fun. That's okay. You're okay with that. But I was wondering about the Havdalah. I wanted to make Havdalah last night in the room also. The problem is they didn't think that lighting Havdalah candle was an option. I don't think they would have been too happy with me that. So I was trying to think, what could we use for that? So Meikra Din, you can really use... You can use an electric light for Havdalah candle. Also, the Poskim says the only problem is you have to be able to see the filament that's burning. If you can't see if it's like it's frosted bulbs, so that wouldn't be good. So I brought along with me for Shabbos, I brought a little light, night light. I was really planning on using it I was sleeping in the room in a different room in the hospital, so I was thinking that maybe I would do Hadlokas Neighbors for myself in that room as well. So I brought along this little nightlight. The only problem was that everything was, there was no outlets open, everything was plugged in the 15 alarm clocks and mice and stuff. I couldn't even start pashing around at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon to try to find something. All right, we'll rely on the bathroom light, rely on this, the light on that, whatever, my wife light, whatever, cheshbonos. So I wasn't so worried. So I had this little bulb with me. So I figured, you know what, I'll use it for Motzei Shabbos, because it happened to be it was an unfrosted bulb. So it was great, no problem. So I come into the room, I went back after Shabbos was over to get this bulb to plug in for Havdalah. So my mother said to me, no, don't just plug it in, you have to ask them first because they have, I don't know, special outlet, I don't know. She was telling me the outlets are storage. She said, until they gave her permission to plug in this, the nurse said, you plug in one thing, the whole hospital blows up, and it gets up. So I'm sitting there with this bulb in my hand last night at 6 o'clock. I had to get out, had to go to Jamaica State, had to go run, and my wife's waiting for me to come back with that. Sitting with a little bulb, and I'm trying to get the permission from the nurse to light it. Now you can imagine already after 24 hours of Shabbos in the hospital, you can imagine how much they love me already at that point. So put it like this: it came before my daughter walked over to the hospital yesterday afternoon with my wife. So with my daughter was I went ran out to the closest shul to the Amir Chamayr. So when I came back, the nurse said to me, your daughter explained to me everything. Now I know what was going on for the last 24 hours. So I said, what did she tell you? She said, no, she explained, religion, with the electricity, with this, with that. Well, you should have just told me. I tried to explain it, but I guess, to me, it was like a 14-year-old kid could do a better job of Kirov than I was there. Anyway, came back to father. We reached the Yom Ha'Din, so I was about to plug in the light, and I asked the nurse, can I plug it in? So she said, okay, fine, no problem. I plugged in, of course, the whole thing, the whole equipment, the light, just that thing went poof. It was the end of the light, end of the outlet, whatever happened. But at least I asked permission. Anyway, so it was at that point that I realized that I had this grandiose plan. I'm going to bring in an electric menorah. I'm going to follow at least it's Chassid menorah. So then I figured I better find the battery operator one. And then I was thinking maybe if he didn't, it's even maybe a shtickle better even. Maybe point the stomach, or maybe be able to be yaitzeh with it. So anyone has one? Anyone knows we get one? Figure it out. Okay. So if anyone here has anything about a battery operated electric menorah, keep me posted. Okay, if not, we'll just take 8 flashlights and we'll figure it out. You learn from the Cheshbonim that you have to improvise. The Cheshbonim came to the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't even have, they didn't have enough time to put together gold and menorah. So the Gemara says, they took their spears and not shpudim, whatever it was, and they made a menorah, they chick chat, they made a quick menorah, out of nothing. So sometimes you have to improvise. Okay, then we'll get back to it. What? You got it online for me?
I just found it.
Oh, no, okay, great. Good, okay.
Supermensch novelty menorah.
Supermensch novelty. Okay, so do me a favor. Send me the link. Sobolovsky at Gmail, and I'll take a look at it later. Okay. Don't send it out because then it's going to start beeping me. I'm not just going to have to share your stuff. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Okay, anyway. Getting back to this story. There is something positive that's come out of this computer. I'm not sure what, but something. Okay, anyway, so get back to the story. So we have a few possible issues here with lighting with the bus of olive oil. We have the issue of Hanoah, so we're not as concerned about that. It's not going to probably. And we have the other issue is maybe it's Chasun D'Shia. But the question is, So first of all, do you even say Kisusimech Kishuri here in the first place? Because it's not been on the Serafin. We started out the Oshia by saying Kisusimech Kishuri is an extension of the principle of Kola Omid Lusof Kisarov Dami. To even say Kisusimech Kishuri by something which is not been on the Serafin. Now we should know this a little bit about Nisrafin. Well, we've heard those terms once or twice this year. So there's a Tosis in Maseches Yevamos, I think it's Kuf Yud, if I'm not mistaken. The Tosis quotes 2 days about this. There's a whole sugi about using a chalitza shoe, which is from a Vedazara. So Tosis has a whole cheshbon that not all of Vedazara has to be burned. Some of Vedazara is burned, some is buried. Vedazara Shal Akom is burned, Vedazara Shal Yisrael is buried. The whole din is dropped in the barn, etc. So Tosis throws out a possibility that maybe the din of system after shoe applies even to Nigbaran, because since Nigbaran have to be Nigbaran, you got to get rid of it. So maybe it's also a shtickle system after shoe. So Tosis throws out such a possibility. So if that's the case, then we're back to this problem of potentially system after shoe. But there's a much more fundamental question here: is system after shoe really make any sense in this context? What's the problem? The problem is the shear is a little bit of a different type of a shear. It's what we would call more in the sense of shear mitzias than a shear in halacha. The reason why there's a shear is not that the chavu misaka, you need 3 volumes of 3 eggs worth of oil. Just the shear is just to enable a physical reality. The physical reality is that you want people to be able to see it. So it happens to be that the goyim or the talmudim, wherever they were, who were selling wood in the streets in the days of Chazal, hung around for half hour after shkia. There's nothing special halachically about a half hour after shkia. That's what we pointed out. That shear may even change. That shear may not even apply mizman. The whole shear may be different mizman. The ben l'kul ben l'chumra. We mentioned last week that there are some who say, Tosfos writes that mizman is there, maybe you can light later. So we said because mizman is there, we're lighting for the bnei abayis. So the whole lot of tichlo regal doesn't really mean anything mizman is there. Oh, that's true. Then it may have a chumra also because the gemara sounds like you have to have enough oil to go until lot of tichlo regal and a shuk. So maybe that changes. Maybe fakir, instead of just lighting a little half-hour candle today, you got to light 10-hour oil. Because if I light at 5 o'clock on my street, at 11 o'clock at night, people are still driving there. So maybe you need a 6-hour candle. You need to actually take a look at the shuk. That would be quite a home. That's the Brisker Rav held. Famous nice with the Brisker Rav. The Rav used to live in Geula, right? And right by Hof Strauss. Across the street from where? The movie theater. He lived across the street from the Edison movie theater. There used to be, those who remember Yerushalayim, not that long ago, there used to be a movie theater there. Nobody ever went there because it was closed for years. But in the old days, before Geula was Geula, so there were other people who, regular people lived in Geula also. So they used to go to the movies. So the Brisker Rav lived across the street from the movie theater, from the Edison movie theater. Right if you go when you're standing at Kikar Shabbat, right? You're standing in the middle between Geula and Meir Sharm, and you're looking up you're looking up in the direction of the plaza, you're about to walk up the hill, so on the right hand side, instead of taking Rechov Strauss all the way up straight towards King George, so if you veer a little bit to the right, so the Edison, am I right? That's where Edison used to be. No one remembers it? Remember? I never saw anyone ever go into a movie there, yeah? but I was told that there used to be a mamash. But I remember, it's not there, but I don't think the building's there anymore. But it used, I remember, and I was in Kerem Yavne, so it still looked like a movie theater. And it still said Edison Movie Theater on it. And sure. So the Mishka Rav lived across the street there. So they said the Mishka Rav used to be Machvin, that he used to light his neiros at Shkia, like the Minhag HaGros in Yerushalayim, and he would put it in enough oil that it should last until the last showing of that night, the oilam would come out of the movie theater. So let's say if the last show was Chleis 10:30 at night, depending on if they were showing a double feature, I don't know if they were showing at night, because let's say the last crowd would leave the movie theater at 12 o'clock, so the risk of rough would be mocked with 7 hours worth of oil, because he was Cheshish, that was a problem maybe of Ashtichel Rechem and Ashok. So we're not knowing like that. Most people are not knowing like they're putting these massive amounts of oil. But logically, it makes a lot of sense. But the risk of rough is saying it makes a lot of sense. So getting back to the story, so this shear of Ashtichel Rechem and Ashok is a different kind of a shear. It's not a kizai, it's a kibetz, it's not amas. This is a shear that's related to a mitzias. And the mitzias advarim is that whether if he did it ksusim mechtas or not, lemaisa, the oil's burning, lemaisa, somebody sees it. Whether we say ksusim mechtas or not, the person's looking at the oil. So if the whole point of the shear is just to make sure you have a flame that's going for a half hour, then what does it matter to me that api aloch it's not there? It's not a halachic shear, there's a mitziah shear. So maybe ksusim mechtas is not applicable here. So again, so we have two different issues here. The Shai Tshuva raised in the name of the Chananim has the potential to be problematic for Neiros Chanukah with Shem and Shel and Bas V'Cholof. One was the issue of mitzvah v'hanas nenu, which is the rice and the rabban, etc. And the second was the issue of the shear. The question is on many, many different levels. Is it nikbaran? Is it nisrofin? Do you say ksusim after shear? Is there really a shear altogether? So you have a lot of issues that are converging in terms of whether that's really a problem.
To avoid tardei d'sasri issue, should we then, if we're going to use the shear of Ashtichel Rechem and Ashok days of old, should we then be makbid to light?
Dominica Olam is like Tysus writes. Dominica Olam is to light at any time at night. You know, you light it early when you can, but if you can light mikvah with a bracha the entire night. And Dominica Olam is not to be machmir to put in 20 hours of oil. That's the Olam. The Olam is not. You know, machmir to be more machmir. Then there's a third problem involved in the Shem and Shabbos B'cholav. Anyone can figure out what that problem is? Oh, it's a Bas B'chol problem. Because maybe you're cooking Bas B'chol. You're violating Lo Sivash B'chol B'chol B'chol. So you're cooking up, it's a very little pot. You see a little hole in your menorah, you have a little menorah handle, we got a flame in there. What else do you want? If I were to take a little drop of milk, a little drop of meat, and put it into a little pot, I would also be able to Bas B'chol. Okay, it would be Pachas B'chashiyah, I'm not going to be Chai Malchus, it's not a Kizayis. Okay, well, that's all fine and dandy. But Chatzishir is also, Pashas also. So what's it then? Is that considered to be an act of cooking Bas B'chol or not? So what's the issue? So some Achareinim say, no, that's not called cooking Bas B'chol. You know why? Because it was cooked already. We're talking about taking an oil of Bas B'chol. I'm taking something that last week somebody cooked up butter together with meat, with shmaltz. So I'm going to take that mixture and I'll recook it. What's the rule? Ein b'shlach ha-bishl. Maybe we should apply the rule. Ein b'shlach ha-bishl. And just as we find in Ruch HaShabbos, there's a rule of Ein b'shlach ha-bishl. Min ha-Torah for sure. That if I have a piece of meat that was already cooked before Shabbos and now it's cold, I put it back on the fire, there's no problem there, right? There's a problem there, Rabbanan, and Chachzorah, Hashem, and Yichab, and Chol, and Nirukim, and Vash, half a dozen problems with the Rabbanan, but Minatar, there's no problem. Let's say you have a guy who's a chef, wants to work in a trade for a restaurant, in a Bas B'chol of a restaurant. So if he's the one who's cooking the food mitchila, that's a problem. If he's just reheating the food, then it's okay. There was a Shaila, somebody told me once, there was a Shaila, a Frum guy was in the United States Army, and he was given kitchen duty. And one of his jobs was to cook whatever. So they were serving Bas B'chol that night. So the Pasim Chomish, the Sevash, and the B'chol of Evo. Even Besan Avela would be a problem. Besan Avela, whether it's also Bano or not, depends on what? The Rambam's what? The Kudin of Fly. I told you about him, Sachem, today. It's not a Chanachash, it's a Chomish, yeah. But Bishol Bas B'chol of Besan Avela is a Vada, and it's a Derais. That's a Beferi Shikimor. Of course, you're not allowed to take Besan Avela. You're allowed to take Chazir. If the recipe, if the meal, the serving, and in the military, this chazir mixed together with milk, and you want to cook a chazir stew with milk, that's hetagam. Take a piece of chazir and a cup of milk and cook it together. So to take beside a vela of an animal, of a kosher species of animal, to take beef, take a side of beef and cook it up together with milk, that would be mamish and iser, that's mamish and iser d'araisa, according to all opinions. That's mamish, that's the pasuk chumash, of savash and b'chol avimah. You have office for that, even according to the Rambam, everyone, that's the real McCoy. So the question was whether this particular guy in the kitchen duty was being asked to cook or to reheat. So if you're being asked to reheat, so maybe you can argue it's cooked already. So maybe ein bishlach habishol, just as in Nochus Shabbos, ein bishlach habishol. Maybe in Nochus Bas Mechon, ein bishlach habishol as well. So some achronim raise a problem with that. What's the problem? That the din of ein bishlach habishol in Nochus Shabbos, there's a big machlekes that we shown them. Does it apply only to solids, even to liquids? This is a real shaila. Maisa. Minah love of the rice. If I have a dry piece of chicken that I cooked yesterday and it's sitting in the fridge for the last 20 hours, I put it on the fire, put it on the flame, on the pot, whatever it is, Shabbos morning. So everybody agrees that's not Nisa Deraisa. Maybe Nisa Deraisa for other reasons, but that's not Nisa Deraisa Bishul, because there's an absolute principle in the Shabbos called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Once the first Bishul was done, then the second subsequent Bishul will not be a problem over Deraisa. Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. So half the Rishonim say that rule is only true when it comes to solid foods. It doesn't apply to liquids. What's the svar? It's a tremendous svar, the chalik. Solid food, a cold piece of chicken is still a piece of chicken. What's the difference, right? Cold piece of chicken is a cold piece of chicken. But a cold soup, chicken soup, imagine eating sick soup, cold, this meal is disgusting. It's a different chavta, different chalashim. The original bishul is this bottle. It's a chalaya brua. Bring a raya brua. So, Friday afternoon, so my wife packed us up food to take for Shabbos to the hospital. So she packed us up a chicken and kugel and everything, and she also made a container of chicken soup. So she brought it right before Shabbos started. My mice said, by the time I finish, we're trying to light nearest Shabbos, by the time I finish davening in Meir, by the time I finish kids, it came time to make Kiddush, and it came time to sit down and eat. My mice said the soup was ice cold. The chicken was also ice cold. So I ate the chicken and I didn't eat it, the soup. Okay, so who has any koichas to eat chicken, frozen chicken soup? I don't know who it is, but it doesn't look like an important number. Okay, so the chicken, the cold chicken I ate, and the cold chicken soup I stuffed in the big hole in the refrigerator, the Shabbos room, and showed save it for tomorrow. Anyway, so that's what some Rishonim say. Some Rishonim say, Alpidin, that makes a difference, that a liquid that cools down is always liquid, a solid that cools down, it's still considered to be Nisbashel. So some Achronim want to borrow that principle back to Bas Mechol also. So the whole Mokot say, Ein Bishlach HaBishul by Bas Mechol, there's no Gemara that says, Ein Bishlach HaBishul by Bas Mechol. Some Achronim say, it's borrowed over from Yoch HaShabbos. So just as by Yoch HaShabbos, Yesh Bishlach HaBishul by Devalach, according to Ben Rishonim, and they're more passed that way. So maybe by Bas Mechol, the same is true. So maybe it's the same point here also. That if you, even though this oil was cooked already, but once it cooled down, it's a double lach, it's subject to another bishul. So that puts us back on the score. We're back in trouble again. We're trying so hard. Imagine, it's only drove. Imagine if they would have found on Chanukah, the Chashmonaim would have found one jar of oil. And instead of having on it the Chasama Shekhan Gadol, it would have also said, by the way, this is Bas Mechol oil. What do you do? Gevalt, it's a Rishatla. You never know what's going to happen. So come the Achronim and say, well, wait a second, can you say Ein Bishlach HaBishul? On the other hand, it's a Davalach. What's the div? So come other Achronim and make the following Ha'ara. This principle of Ein Bishlach HaBishul by Bas Mechol, imagine this is true for a second. Imagine, like many Achronim, most Achronim probably say it. There's a right from a Ramah, a right from other, from a Shadim already, that Ein Bishlach HaBishul applies to Bas Mechol. If that's the case, that the real din of Ein Bishlach HaBishul applies to Bas Mechol, learned out from the Shabbos, patterned after the Shabbos, have an unbelievable chiddush. I'm going to tell you a kula, it's going to blow away your mind, okay? There's no Bas Mechol D'Oraisa in America, ever. It is impossible to have Bas Mechol D'Oraisa in America. Who knows why? All milk is pasteurized. All milk has been pre-cooked. So if all milk is pre-cooked, then hopefully it's pre-cooked, right? Infectious disease, right? Good idea to cook the milk, right? Not a bad idea, okay. So if the milk was pre-cooked, so it's ready to special. So when I come home and I take this gavaldic side of beef and I pour in this milk, mamish, it's kosher beef, it's mahadrim and mahadrim, it's the greatest chassid shashkoch in the world, and my chassid shashchit and my beef, and my chol yisrael milk, and everything's all, and I pour it together, not a problem in our Torah, because Ein Bishlach HaBishul. Is that true? So the overwhelming majority of the Poskim say that it's absolutely wrong. There is no such halacha. What do the Achronim mean when they say, what does the Rishonim mean? The Ramah's deal that there's no bishlach and bishrabas b'cholov. It doesn't mean if either one of the ingredients was cooked. It means if it was cooked together, then it's called a bishlach and bishul. What's the svara? The Teretz says about the shulchan, don't leave us b'chol, right? See, so it's about the shulchan. They spoke about this, right? I didn't hear it, wasn't it? Okay. So comes about the shulchan and says, the lumbus is like this. They didn't boss b'chol, there's nothing to the main bishlach and bishul b'boss b'chol. We don't just carry over the hilchos bishul from one to another so fast. A bishlach and bishul is a din of the Shabbos, machas, machas, machas. The Achronim and the Rishonim will use the term Ein Bishlach HaBishol V'Bas B'Cholov. They mean something totally different. What they mean is that the Isser of Bas B'Cholov is the creation of a Cheftza Bas B'Cholov. Taking two Dvar Mamutarim, you take milk and take meat, and you form Bas B'Cholov, that's called the Isser of Bishol Bas B'Cholov. Once the Bas B'Cholov is already formed, and now you're just reheating it, you're just continuing what was already done, that's, they used the term, they coined a phrase called Ein Bishlach HaBishol. It was a borrowed phrase. It's a misnomer. It doesn't really mean it. If the din would have been Ein Bishlach HaBishol based on Shabbos, Machas, Bachsheves, Ein Bishlach HaBishol, if that would be true, then in a chanami, then we would be led to the absurd conclusion that if you have pasteurized milk, there's nothing to worry about. But that's not the din. The din is that you have to create Bas B'Cholov in order to be an Isser of Bishul Bas B'Cholov. It was already created. It's already there. The Isser of Bas B'Cholov, the Isser of Bishul Bas B'Cholov is to create the Chefetz of Bas B'Cholov. That's the Isser. If that's the case, then it no longer works with the regular rules of Hilchos Shabbos. Bein L'Kula Bein L'Chumra. Therefore, the chilul between Davar Yavish and Davar Lach is meaningless. L'mais, I'm sitting in front of it. I got in my cup now a mixture of schmaltz and butter. It was all cooked together. And now it's sitting there and it cooled off. So in Hilchas, Ein Bishlach HaBishol, so that would be a problem of Yesh Bishlach HaBishol, according to many Rishonim. But we're not going with Hilchas Bishlach HaBishol, we're going with the new Halacha, Hilchas Bas B'Cholov. It's not a Din Klali of Bishol, it's a Din Prati of Hilchas Bas B'Cholov, that only the creation of Bas B'Cholov is the problem. Once Bas B'Cholov is created, then there's no problem of just recooking it or reheating it, it doesn't mean anything. So Lach Papti, whether it's solid, liquid, vegetable, who cares what it is? The end of the day is, it's the Isser of the creation of Bas B'Cholov, that's the problem. So Abba Zoy, if that's the case, then that's going to salvage this oil for us. So the oil was already in his bashel, it was already chalon in Isser Bas B'Cholov, so there's no Isser subsequently to cook it. So the fact that I take it and put it into my menorah and I light it up and it's burning, that's reheating. I'm reheating Bas B'Cholov. What do you mean reheating Bas B'Cholov? But it's a davalach. This is a lachbat. The davalach, the yavish. The davalach, the yavish are chilukim when the klal is ein bishlach habishol. When the klal is nothing to do with ein bishlach habishol. The klal is creation of Bas B'Cholov. The rules are totally different. Everything is different. Lagamre, everything is different. So, but lemaisa, when all the dust settles, we have three different issues that the Shari Tshuva raises in terms of using Bas B'Cholov oil. Each one of them is related to many of the things that we spoke about. What is the issue of mitzvah slavei hanus? So that may or may not derive, the rabbanon, etc. That's related to the first part of the discussion. The second issue is ksusim mechteshur, right? Which relates to some of the things we spoke about also, nisraf and igbar, etc. All the things that we spoke about in the past. And the third is the issue of bishul bas b'chol, which we also spoke about. So it could pass as a psachim shir, no? Okay. Well, it's psachim, the interplay between chanuk and psachim. So these are some of the issues involved. Next time someone sends you a jar of Bas B'Cholov oil, so you have to be on top of the situation to know whether it's okay to land. Okay, we'll stop here, maybe we'll dive into it, alright? Hopefully tomorrow, I hope, the ball as well, but we have to wrap the schedule, but we'll be in touch.